Well, truly is a pleasure to be here tonight with everybody. You know, I've been coming for the past couple weeks on Wednesday night, but I appreciate Pastor Anderson for opening up the opportunity to preach on a Wednesday night. It's feels like I'm back home again every time I come down to Faithful Word, spending so much time here before and seeing all the friendly faces and the new faces and getting to meet everybody before we head out. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here, and especially all the hospitality and the well wishes and the support and encouragement that I'm getting from everybody. It really means a lot. So I mean that. I thank you very much for everybody that's come up to me and talked to me and encouraged me. It really is doing a lot of good for me. So thank you very much for that. Now, this evening, the sermon, what I want to preach about here is a very simple doctrine. There's nothing complicated. This isn't some like real deep doctrine, or you have to follow along real closely to understand what the message is all about tonight. It's very simple, but sometimes the most simple doctrines are the ones that you need to hear from time to time. So don't tune out just because, oh, Pastor Burns, he's just preaching on it. I already know this. I've already got this settled. You know, don't just blow it off. You don't want to get to the point where you just think like, oh yeah, I already know all this stuff. It's no big deal. Just try to pay attention. The Bible says in Philippians 3, we didn't start there, but I'm just going to read one verse. The first verse in Philippians 3 says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." Now, what I'm preaching tonight is I've preached on this subject many times before, and you know, it's not a hassle, it's not grievous to preach these doctrines, because it's safe, it's necessary, and you know, sometimes we really need to pay attention. You know, church is great, it's exciting, the Word of God is exciting. I always love learning new things, I love finding new stuff, but honestly, the new stuff that you find, you can't be relying on that to keep you going in the long run in your Christian life. We need to, that's why we're fundamentalists, you know, we need to make sure that we're just got our bases down, and you don't want to be moved. Now, the longer you're in church, the longer you come to, especially a church like this, as the years go by, you're going to see people come and you're going to see people go. And you want to make sure that you're one of the people that stays. I thank God there's people still here today that I was, you know, friends with 10 years ago when I was going to this church, and even longer than that. And that they're still coming faithfully week after week, year after year. That's who you want to be. You don't want to be the people that come, they get real excited for a while, and then fall out of church. So hopefully the sermon this evening is going to help you to just to remind yourself maybe why what is so important and what's going to prevent you from being one of the ones that just kind of end up falling away. So we started off here in Mark chapter 4, right at the beginning, is a very famous passage on the parable of the sower. And of course, there's many, you know, there's four different instances here of the sowing, where you've got the seed that falls by the wayside, you got the stony ground, the good ground. You got these different instances, and just look at verse number 2 there, real quick. There, the second verse, chapter 4, Bible says, "And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine." So what's he doing here? He's teaching them doctrine. We need to know good doctrine. We're going to be looking at this parable of the sower to get some good doctrine. Let's jump down there to verse number, verse number 14, where he actually starts to just explain what the parable means. We already read the whole chapter, so you got the whole thing in context. But let's look at his explanation of what is he trying to describe, what is he trying to say when he gives them this parable of a sower that goes out to sow the seed. Verse number 14, the Bible says, "The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." He's saying the first group of people, the word is sown, the word is preached unto them, the word of God. They don't receive it. Satan comes away. He takes the word. They don't get saved because they don't believe. They don't receive the word of God. And that's the way that works out. And then the next verse, look at verse number 16. The Bible says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness." So this group of people are saved because they've received the word of God. They believe on it. They get saved. They receive it with gladness. They're happy about it. But, verse 17, it says, "And they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So they get saved, but they don't really get rooted down. They don't get fully just established and firm in the Word of God. You know, they don't get plugged into a good church. They get saved, but, you know, after a little while, something offends them, something comes up, and they just kind of fall by the wayside and don't end up really doing anything with their life. The next group here, look at verse number 18, and this is who I'm going to focus on tonight. It says, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So that last group is people, they hear the word, they receive it, they get saved, they get grounded, they get fired up, and they become fruitful, and they start bringing forth other believers. They preach the gospel. They get other people saved. They lead other people to Christ. They're bringing forth fruit. But the group right before that, I believe they're saved also, just like the ones that fell on stony ground. But these ones last a little bit longer. So the ones on the stony ground, they receive the word, but then the first thing kind of comes up that offends them. They're just out. They can't handle it. This next group, they start growing a little bit more, but then they get distracted with the cares of this world. They start being more focused on money, more focused on riches, more concerned about whatever lust of the flesh that's enticing unto them. And it says here at the end of verse 19, they becometh unfruitful. So when they're becoming unfruitful, I take that as they were fruitful. They got started out, they were growing, and they actually started producing fruit. But then, because they got distracted, because they started focusing more on their job, more on their money, more on fill in the blank, anything other than serving the Lord, it's just that became the priority in their life, and they stopped winning souls. They became unfruitful, and after a while, I guarantee you, these people then end up just falling out of church and just doing nothing with the rest of their life. Now, sin has a way of getting people out of church. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. And look, notice it says deceitfulness, because all of the things that you can do where the world's going to try to promote, you know, making a lot of money, it's all deceitful. It's all vain. It's empty. It's meaningless. When people are trying to prop up all, you know, no, don't spend so much time going to church. You know, don't waste your time with that. You need to be spending all your time, you know, going out and working 80 hours a week and just making a whole bunch of money and just do that. And then you could have, you know, a boat, and then you could have two houses, and then you could have all these cars, and you could have all this stuff. And they try to put these, you know, shiny new things in front of your eyes to distract you into thinking that, hey, yeah, I want that. And you know what that is? Covetousness. And beware of that, because that is a very dangerous sin to get wrapped up in. When you start looking at things and wanting to have those things, that's covetousness. And the Bible says that's a sin. And that will distract you from where we should be focused, and that we should be focused on the rewards that are in heaven. The Bible says the mind, not the earthly things. And that we're supposed to be, you know, considering and thinking about our reward in heaven, because where our heart is, or where our treasure is, there is our heart, there our heart will be also. And if you are racking up a treasure in heaven because you're serving the Lord, you're bringing forth fruit, you're getting people saved, then you're going to be focused more on your rewards in heaven than what you can get on this earth. Because everything on this earth is just going to be burned up anyways. What good is it going to do? Now, when it comes to, because I'm focusing in on this group of people who become unfruitful. I don't want anybody here to become unfruitful. This is a great church. You have a great opportunity here. There's so much soul winning going on. I see it every time we come down. You know, we're going through all the numbers, and you got all the times listed there. There's people going out soul winning every single day. Now, it grieves me to say this, but I guarantee you that in 5 years from now, there's going to be some people who are going out soul winning today that will not be soul winning in 5 years. It's just a fact. And I don't want you to be that person. You ought to decide tonight, hey, I'm not going to be that person. Now, there's multiple things that could kind of keep you out or get you to become unfruitful, but I'm going to be focusing on one very simple point where I think the majority of people that end up becoming unfruitful fall prey to, and that's just getting out of church. And it always starts just with a little bit. Especially, you know, from people who are fruitful, people who go out soul winning, they're going to be the people who are going to church regularly right now. They're going to be making a point. They're doing three to thrive. Amen and amen. But what usually starts to happen is some distraction will pop up in your life. Maybe it even starts honestly or simply with a serious illness that will get you out of church, and for good reason. Look, I'm not saying come to church when you're like, you know, you're throwing up and you've got all this, you know, you're going to the hospital. Obviously, there's reasons to be out of church, and there's legitimate reasons to not come, okay? But what could happen is you get used to not going regularly for any reason, and that becomes a dangerous situation because you're going to fill your time one way or another doing something. And we got to beware of the reasons that are going to fill your time that's going to keep you away because it's something that just you're going to consume on your lust. And unfortunately, what a lot of people do is they allow, probably the number one thing is they allow work to get in the way of their church attendance. Now, as a man, as a father of five children, I know what it means to have to provide for your family. And you have to work hard, especially now as being kind of unemployed. You know, I don't have a very good source of income. It's easy, or not easy, it's tempting to say, well, I'm just going to forsake church for a while because I'm going to go out and work. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And all these things that he was referring to in the context of that passage is, wherewithal shall I be clothed, and what am I going to eat? Because those are the things that God will provide for you. It's a promise from the Lord. As much as you can trust that Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins and you're going to heaven when you die and you can be secure in that, as much as you can trust that God will put food in your belly and put clothing on your backs. If you're seeking him first. That's the condition. Just seek him first. Where does God fall in your life? Is he second? Is he third? Is he whenever it's convenient? Or are you putting him first? God needs to be number one. And don't be sitting there and saying, oh, yeah, it's easy for you because you're a pastor. And of course, a pastor should be going to church regularly. A pastor should be doing this. I wasn't always a pastor. You know what? I made this decision for myself well before I even thought about being a pastor. Because this is something that is for everybody. The Bible is not written to pastors that, oh, yeah, you need to put God first, but everyone else doesn't have to. No, it's for everybody. We need to make sure that you have at least one area in your life, you're not, you know, more than one, hopefully, but at least one with God where you're not going to compromise. You're not going to back down. You're not going to change. You're not going to shift. You're not going to say, well, I know serving the Lord's important, but I have to do something else. Put God first. Don't compromise your duty to serve your Savior. And think about that, your Savior, who saved your soul from an eternity of hell. Put him down on the lower shelf because you got more important things to do. The people end up falling out of church, it's a heart problem. We start losing those priorities. It starts in here, and then it starts coming out when you're not coming to church as often as you used to. You start skipping out on the soul winning times. You're not reading your Bible at home. You're not praying. All these things start, you start getting too busy, and it stops happening. And before you know it, progression takes place, and maybe a couple months, and maybe 6 months, and maybe a year. Before you know it, these people aren't even coming to church anymore. And the cares of this world has choked them out. It happens. Stay around for a while, you'll see it. We need to make sure our priorities are straight. Now, When it comes to coming to church, first of all, don't let laziness ruin the opportunity, especially that you have here today. I'm so thankful to be able to preach to this crowd. It's a great group of people. You have such an awesome opportunity right here that so many people would love to be in your position to be able to come to a church like this. Don't take that for granted. Don't just get so, oh, yeah, faith forward, you know. This is like one of the best churches in the world. I firmly believe it. This is one of the best churches in the world. And you ought to be thankful and don't get lazy and ruin your opportunity to be in one of the best churches. Appreciate the value. Luke 12:48, you don't have to turn there. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Luke 12:48 says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. But for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And who men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." You have been given much here. You've been given much, first of all, just living in the time that we live in with the Bible just so readily available at your fingertips. But not only that, not only do you have the scripture, not only are you living in a country where it's still legal to go out and practice your faith, it's still legal to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no real serious persecution for going out and preaching the gospel of Christ. Not only do you have all that, you also have a church where the word of God is being just given to you unadulterated. It's not being censored. There's nothing being left out. The whole counsel of God is being preached unto you. Not only that, you have a church that's sending you out every single day of the week to go out and win souls. You have a church where, you know, you have a pastor that has integrity. You've got people in the pews that have integrity. You've got people that love the Lord and want to serve him. Hey, why would you not want to be a part of this group? When you really start thinking about it, what is more important? I think about it this way, you know, with what, you know, God's going to require much of you, much is given. You live in this area, there's a lot given to you right there. You're able to make it here, there's a lot there. Now, this is kind of a worldly example, but just think of a dad who sends his son to a college. I'm not saying go to college, but just think of a dad that sends his son to Harvard or you know, Yale or, you know, some one of these big names, you know, really expensive top universities. Sends his son off there. You'd think he'd probably expect him to get a pretty decent career after giving him such a great opportunity, right? But what would say his son just was like, "Well, yeah, I just want to flip burgers at McDonald's for the rest of my life." Right? So you're like, "I just sent you to the, you know, to this great institution of education." Well, you've got something so much greater here. You've got such a great learning place. You've got a pillar and ground of the truth right here. Don't waste that. How is your heavenly Father going to feel if he's like, "I'm sending you here. This is like one of the top churches in the world. I'm sending you here, and you're going to do nothing? You're just going to go and just spend your whole life making money? Like, really?" God's given you this opportunity. You can hear all this great preaching. Don't let your heavenly Father down. Now, also, when it comes to, you know, getting out of church, don't think that you've been here so long. Now, I was kind of alluding to this a little bit earlier, that, "Well, I've been here so long, I've learned so much, I don't really need to come to church that often. I've grown, so, you know, I just need to go maybe like once a week, that's good enough for me." That's another bad attitude to be aware of. Just like covetousness, you don't want to be so lifted up with yourself and in pride that you think, "Well, I don't really see the value. I don't really see how important it is anymore." The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. If you just think that you've arrived, if you think that you're just so smart, "Oh, I don't need church," you're about to fall, because that type of attitude, first and foremost, you don't have ears that are ready to hear. You're not going to learn it. If you think that you can't be taught because you know everything already, you're not going to learn anything. I'll tell you that much. And I'll tell you another thing. You don't know everything. So you're in a really bad spot. I mean, there's a reason why I'm driving an hour and a half down to be here on a Wednesday night. Church is important. I'm not just going to skip out and just not do anything. I mean, but see, that's a decision that I made for myself. You can make the same decision. How important is it to you? Are you going to make sacrifices? You're going to sacrifice your time, maybe a little bit of money, but whatever it takes to be in God's house? Or is it not that big of a deal? Look at Hebrews chapter 10. We need to get a good understanding of what church actually is and why it's here. And why it's so important. And why I say that when you start missing out on church, you start skipping out of church, it's not going to probably be very long before you're just out altogether. You start coming up with other excuses, other reasons. You're not spending your time here. It is so, so, so very important. Church is important. Church is critical to your Christian life. We're going to start reading here in verse number 19. Hebrews 10, start reading verse number 19. The Bible says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God." Now, obviously, this is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our high priest. And we as brethren, as believers, we have boldness, the Bible says, to be able to just come right in to the holiest of holies. Now, this is obviously in reference to the Old Testament, you know, temple where you have the outer sanctuary and an inner sanctuary where there's the holiest of holies, the Ark of the Covenant, you know, all the things that were really holy that only the high priest once a year was able to go into, and it was very restricted. The Bible's saying now we don't have to be careful about being able to enter into the holiest of all because we have the blood of Jesus Christ. We could enter boldly knowing that we're pure, we're sanctified to be able to enter into there and boldly come unto the throne and just, you know, ask God for things that we need and be able to approach the Lord through Jesus Christ. And it says, we have a high priest over the house of God. Now, what is the house of God? 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." The pillar and ground of the truth. How is it that you view church? Do you just view it as something to do on a Wednesday night or something to do on a Sunday? Or do you view it as, you know, a place where you go and just hang out with some friends and chat with people? Or do you view it as God's house? And it's a good reminder. Think about how you would, I mean, think about how you enter a friend's house. Think about how you'd enter a house of somebody maybe you don't know that well. Are you respectful when you enter their house? What about God's house? How should we be behaving ourselves in God's house? But not only that, it's, you know, Jesus Christ, he's the high priest over the house of God. The Bible says also that you know, the church is so important, Jesus gave his life for it. In Ephesians 5, when it's talking about husbands and wives, the Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Church is so important, Jesus Christ gave his life for the church. Yet you have people today, "Oh, church isn't that important. Oh, I have church at my house when I read the Bible to my kids." It's not church. That's not church. "Oh, I do church on the internet." That's not church. Church is a congregation of people gathering together. Church is, Jesus Christ died for the church. Church is so important that there's entire chapters dedicated to the roles and the offices that are held within a church. God didn't just make up, for, you know, 1 Timothy chapter 3 about, you know, the office of a bishop, and he that desireth the work of a bishop, desireth a good thing, and just lists off all this criteria. If church, "Oh, yeah, you could just do church. Hey, well, I just do church in my house." Who's the pastor? Who's the bishop? It's important. Don't ever just downplay the importance of church. Let's keep reading here in Hebrews chapter 10 because we continue on. Get a little bit more information. The Bible says in verse 22, "Let us draw near." So we're coming together. Let's draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. So we need to hold fast. We need to hold tight. We need to hold on to our faith and don't be moved. Don't be questioned. Don't be like the seed that's sown in the stony places. Don't be like the seed that's sown in the thorns and the briars come up and they choke the word. You need to hold fast and don't waver. Why is it that we cannot waver? How is it that we can just be so dead sure? Because he is faithful that promised. Because God doesn't lie. Because everything that God says will come to pass, and every promise that he makes is true, and you could receive it. We don't have to waver on any of it. Don't let anyone shake your faith, because what God says, what God's word says, is true, period. But let's keep reading here. Look at verse number 24, because this really gets to the heart of why church is so important. The Bible says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This is such an important part of church that so many people miss. This is huge. This is one major thing that people who watch church online are completely missing. People say, I do my church online. Look, I'm not against technology. I think technology is great. You know, we stream our services up at Word of Truth so that, you know, people can watch if they want to, but I'll tell you what, you are not attending church if you're just watching it on the internet. And church is so much more than just hearing a sermon. Church was not designed only to hear a sermon from the Word of God. That is one aspect of it, and that is very important, absolutely. But what the Bible's talking about here is drawing near, holding fast our faith, and considering one another. You know what the church is about? You're caring about other people. You're caring about the congregation, about other people. Friendship, who can I go and provoke unto love and to good works? Because let's be honest, you know, when you're living a Christian life and you're trying to do what's right in a really wicked and dark world, sometimes it could weigh on you. Sometimes it could be difficult. And you need the encouragement. You need people there to help you out, people who are like-minded. You both have the same goal. And you might be having the worst day in the world, and you know your family's against you. You get, you know, troubles at work, troubles at home. You come into church and say, you know what, I still got to serve God. And you've got other people there to help consider you, think about you, care about you, and to provoke you unto love and to good works. Maybe you are faithful to church, but don't let this pass you by, because, you know, you ought not to be coming in, you know, 1 minute after it starts and then leaving like 1 minute before it ends. You're still missing part of what church is all about. You may be singing the songs, you may be hearing from the Word of God, but the gathering together of believers is also for the purpose of considering each other and helping each other and having a mind within you that thinks, how can I esteem other better than myself? How can I help other people out, help them to succeed? Like John the Baptist esteemed Jesus Christ better than himself. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. We need to have that heart and that mind and that attitude that cares about other people. And when you can get that mind in you, that will help to keep you sustained over the years. That'll help keep you coming to church. That'll help you going out soul winning, caring about lost people, preaching the gospel unto them, because you're more concerned about other people than just yourself. When you start caring about the riches and the cares of this world, and you become real covetous, what are you thinking about? Me. How can I make my life easier? What toys can I get? How much fun can I go out and have? The Bible teaches the exact opposite. It's not about you. It's about everybody else, about other people. Considering one another, provoke unto love and the good works. And just remember this also. On the days that you might be thinking about just skipping church because it's just simply too inconvenient for you, I've got too much stuff going on, not only will you not be provoked unto love and good works from other people, but what about that person that may be having a hard time that's a good friend of yours? That could really use your help that Wednesday night or that Sunday night, and you're not there. Or what about that message that maybe God really wanted you to hear? That portion of scripture. You know, I know you guys have been going through 1 Chronicles, right? It could be a very good reason for people to say, oh man, I don't even like reading 1 Chronicles, let alone sitting through an hour of preaching on 1 Chronicles. But you don't know what's gonna be preached there. You don't know who's going to be in service that night. You don't know what God might have for you when his people are congregated together. Amen. It's interesting how it works out. Again, over the years, you start to notice this too, that you'll hear sermons preached sometimes, and you're thinking like, you know, and don't get too much of this attitude of just like applying sermons to everyone else, right? We should be applying it to ourselves. But there's some things that may be obvious with people that, you know, they're struggling with an area, and it's like that topic is hit and they're not there. And it's the one thing that they probably needed to hear more than anything else, and they're not there. You don't want to be that person. I mean, hopefully your heart is right, first of all, where you want to hear the areas that you need to improve on. You want to know, how can I please the Lord more? How can I serve God better? What things are in my life that shouldn't be there? I want to hear about that. And you definitely, if you have that attitude, you definitely don't want to miss the time when it would apply directly to you. Especially just because, well, I just didn't feel like going, oh, I overslept. Oh, I had other plans. My dinner ran late. I thank God for all the great people that he's brought into my life. It's really hard to express how much all the encouragement, I mentioned this at the beginning of the sermon, how much all the encouragement has meant to me and my wife. So I do thank you all for that. And it's been a blessing. It's been a huge blessing. You being here, all of you tonight, all of you last week, all of you 2 weeks ago, everyone that's been coming up and visiting us at Word of Truth, that has been, you may not feel, maybe it's hard to express when you're even coming and visiting me. Maybe I'm kind of busy and I just get to shake your hand and say thank you. You know what though? When I go home, I think about church. I think about everything that was there. And it means a lot to me. It means more than you might think. Amen. That's another reason why it's super important to come to church. Maybe you don't have any friends here, but you know what? The pastor's going to care that you're there. And believe it or not, other people do care when you're not here. There's always someone. You might not even realize it. You might have a child that looks up to you. You might have just some other people, some other person that you're not really good friends with, but they care about you, they're worried about you, and when you're not here, it has an impact. The Bible teaches that we're all members individually within the church. Everyone has a different role. There's a different function. You know, someone might be a hand or a foot, or, you know, there's all the Bible likens it to a body. And all of you have a very important role to play within the church. And when you're not there, there's part of the body that's lacking. If we're going to do the most for God together in unity and just do the most work, we need the body functioning together in one place and everybody in their place. It's great seeing everybody that I've known for so long. I love showing up on a Wednesday night and seeing the faithfulness of people in the middle of the week. They're willing to stop what they're doing, you know, get out of work when they need to get out of work, whatever it is, just make sure they make it a point to be here. It's also a little concerning to come and not see the people you'd expect to see. You know, makes you worry about them, just be concerned. I hope they're not going down that path where they're on their way out. And I mentioned earlier, you know, technology is great. There's so much being done for the Lord, especially here on the internet and everything else that's going on. And so many people are being reached, but don't let the technology make you lazy. Especially when you're here. It may be tempting to just have the convenience of the internet allow you to forsake the assembling together. Like, well, I'll just catch it online. Well, I'll just go home. Well, I'm running a little bit late today. I'll just catch it on the internet. Church is more than just catching it online. It's a bad habit to get into, And that could be a sign of you allowing the things of the world to consume too much of your time. When you start putting off your actual presence here and just saying, well, watching online, that's, you know, it's good enough. No, it's not. I mean, if you're really sick, you know, I thank God we have this technology. My wife is sick. She's at home. She's able to at least get something tonight when she's not able to come and be a part with everybody else. So I think that's great. I think it's a great opportunity. But you know what? If she wasn't ill, she would be here. We wouldn't just be sitting at home watching online. We're going to be at a congregation. Amen. Gathered together. Because, yes, it is that important. Let's keep reading here in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse number 25. Because this is all the previous verses I was talking about. This is exactly what I'm preaching on. This is talking about church. Because verse number 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. The assembling of ourselves together, that's church, it's congregation. That's exactly what this context is talking about. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Again, there's that exhorting, considering one another, exhorting one another, being there for one another, helping other people out, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As we're getting closer and closer to the end of the world, and the times are getting darker and darker, and it's getting closer and closer to the time of the Antichrist, it's so much more important to be in church. I mean, think about three church services have been going on for I don't know how long. I don't even know. I don't know history. A really long time, though. People have been going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Three to Thrive has been around for a while. I think we could use even more, and as the day is approaching, we're going to need even more support, more encouragement, you know, as we keep on just going down and getting closer in times. And is it really that hard to take 1 or 2 days, you know, 2 days out of your week? And not full days, just a couple hours on these days and gather together. It's needed. We need it more. But let's keep reading here because God's very serious about this also. We see all the benefit for it, the benefit for us, the benefit for others. But right after that verse, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, not just forsaking church. Oh, I don't need church. Verse 26 follows up with, for if we sin willfully, that for is joining from the previous sentence of forsaking the assembling. Meaning that if you have forsake the assembly in church, that you're sinning willfully. For if we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. God gets angry. Amen. He doesn't want you out of church. He wants you in this place. He wants you in the place that Jesus Christ gave his life for. The pillar and ground of the truth. Don't let other people, don't let the house church movement, don't let other people just deceive you into thinking church isn't that important. Don't let the internet allow you to become lazy and say, well, I'll just tune in here. I don't need to really go in church. It's not that important. Make the decision. I'm going to be in church as much as is humanly possible because I don't want to fall out. I don't want to be the seed that's just sown where the cares of this world choke it out and I just become unfruitful. I want to be in the good ground. I want to be in for the long haul. I want to be serving the Lord for my whole life. I want to be found faithful that God could say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for giving us this institution of a church. God, I thank you for this church here. I thank you for leading me to Faithful Word Baptist Church so many years ago and how much I was able to learn and grow and help others as well as receive help from others, dear God. It's so important to our lives to be able to serve you just more and more every day. And God, I pray that you would please help the people here tonight to make the decision that they're not going to be one of the ones that falls out of church or gets choked with the cares of this world, but that they decide in their heart that serving you is the most important. They're going to put you at top priority in their life. God, help us in these last days. Help us to provoke one another into love and good works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Come and dine, song number 255.
She would be here. We wouldn't just be sitting at home watching online. We're going to be at a congregation. Amen. Gathered together. Because, yes, it is that important. Let's keep reading here in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verse number 25. Because this is all the previous verses I was talking about. This is exactly what I'm preaching on. This is talking about church. Because verse number 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. The assembling of ourselves together, that's church. It's a congregation. That's exactly what this context is talking about. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Again, there's that exhorting. Considering one another. Exhorting one another. Being there for one another. Helping other people out. Exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. As we're getting closer and closer to the end of the world, and the times are getting darker and darker, and it's getting closer and closer to the time of the Antichrist, it's so much more important to be in church. I mean, think about three church services have been going on for I don't know how long. I don't even know. I don't know the history. A really long time, though. People have been going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Three to Thrive has been around for a while. I think we could use even more, and as the day is approaching, we're going to need even more support, more encouragement, you know, as we keep on just going down and getting closer in times. And is it really that hard to take 1 or 2 days, you know, 2 days out of your week? And not full days, just a couple hours on these days and gather together. It's needed. We need it more. But let's keep reading here because God's very serious about this also. We see all the benefit for it, the benefit for us, the benefit for others. But right after that verse, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, not just forsaking church. Oh, I don't need church. Verse 26 follows up with, for if we sin willfully. That for is joining from the previous sentence of forsaking the assembling. Meaning that if you have forsaken the assembly in church, that you're sinning willfully. For if we sin willfully, after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. God gets angry. Amen. He doesn't want you out of church. He wants you in this place. He wants you in the place that Jesus Christ gave his life for. The pillar and ground of the truth. Don't let the house church movement, don't let other people just deceive you into thinking church isn't that important. Don't let the internet allow you to become lazy and say, well, I'll just tune in here. I don't need to really go in church. It's not that important. Make the decision. I'm going to be in church as much as is humanly possible because I don't want to fall out. I don't want to be the seed that's just sown where the cares of this world choke it out and I just become unfruitful. I want to be in the good ground. I want to be in for the long haul. I want to be serving the Lord for my whole life. I want to be found faithful that God could say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for giving us this institution of a church. God, I thank you for this church here. I thank you for leading me to Faithful Word Baptist Church so many years ago and how much I was able to learn and grow and help others as well as receive help from others, dear God. It's so important to our lives to be able to serve you just more and more every day. And God, I pray that you would please help the people here tonight to make the decision that they're not going to be one of the ones that falls out of church and gets choked with the cares of this world, but that they decide in their heart that serving you is the most important. They're going to put you at top priority in their life. God, help us in these last days. Help us to provoke one another into love and good works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.